Amen. Praise God. Who remembers last Sunday evening? Who remembers? Somebody help me. Stat is a vat. Stat is a vat. Stop at once, right now, this very moment. Stop. We've been given that authority. Jesus said, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, so that nothing shall by any means hurt you or harm you. As I asked the question last week, do you believe that you can have a sin-proof heart, a sickness-proof body, oppression, depression-proof mind, and so on, and all these different things? And so I want us to kind of zoom in a little bit more this week and just look at some of these individual things. Amen. That we have been given authority to live in the fullness of. Amen. And so tonight I want to tell you, you can have a sin-proof life. We asked a question last week, why are these things possible? One reason and one reason only. God says they're possible. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. So Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 26 says this, but now God, say now, God. Now. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. I just felt a big burden fall off. God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law, as was promised in the writings of Moses and the prophets long ago. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus Christ. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who they are or who we are, it says. For everyone has sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard, but God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. We'll have a wee Selah moment there, I think. Stop and think about that for a minute. God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. Even although everyone has sinned and everyone has fallen short of his standard, he freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty for our sins, when he declared us innocent of all that was against us. Amen. Hallelujah. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in the present time. Worthy of some meditation, that. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just, and he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Mm-hmm. Oh, hallelujah. So that's pretty straightforward, isn't it? I wonder how people manage to complicate that so much. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says very simply, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we might be made right with God through Christ. That's a supernatural transaction that took place once and for all and forever. It's sealed, signed, sealed, and delivered. Nothing can alter that or change that. God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin. Those of us, all of us who have sinned and fallen short of his standard. He made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we would be made right, could be made right with God through Christ. In the New King James, the King James, it says that we may become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. So we make our lives sin-proof by simply believing that we are the righteousness of God.
That's right.
In Christ Jesus. That Jesus actually did make everything right between us and God. That he's already done it.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times people get caught back up in that craziness, that endless cycle of trying to get themselves right with God. And we've already been made right with God. Do you know the guy walking down the road there looking for another pint of beer in the next pub that he's going to visit? He's already been made right with God. He just doesn't know it yet. How does he not know it? Nobody told him. Or when they told him, he didn't believe him. But he actually has already been made right with God. He's the Saviour. The Bible tells me, the Word of God declares it, that He is the Saviour of all men, especially of those who believe. God was in Christ reconciling the few chosen to Himself. No, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth. So we're made right with God when we simply believe that Jesus made everything right. And we place our faith in what He did. Not in what we can do or what we can manage to accomplish. Just in what He did. Simply believing that what He did was enough. Sufficient. And so now, because of that reality, we can stand in God's presence without a sense of fear or guilt or shame or condemnation or any other negative emotion. So I want us to look at, you understand, this is a supernatural thing. We were born from above. We're no longer living as people of the dust with the nature of the first Adam, of the first man. We now have the nature of the second Adam and the last Adam.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever going to talk with Edith. Nobody's ever going to have to.
Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And we have the nature of the heavenly man. It's supernatural. The life that we now live, we live naturally, supernaturally, and supernaturally, naturally. And we need to remember that. I remember a few weeks ago saying to the church here on a Sunday morning, we are Holy Spirit people. We've got to remember that. Let's say that tonight. We are Holy Spirit people. That means we're supernatural people. We're not doing anything by natural strength or ability anymore. We're doing everything by the supernatural power and ability that's been made freely available to us by the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Amen. So I want us to look tonight at some of the results of this incredible truth that we now have a sin-proof life. Hallelujah. So I just kind of went through the Psalms and a little bit into Proverbs to remind us of what it means to be declared righteous. And the things that God declares over us because we have been declared righteous. In Psalm chapter 5, verse 12, it says, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield." Because of the reality now that we have been declared righteous and we've been made right with God, we now have supernatural favor. We have it every day, in every situation. We can expect, say we can expect.
We can expect
supernatural favor. Favor means an attitude of approval. It means over generous preferential treatment. Sounds good to me. It means support or advancement that is given as a sign of approval or promotion. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We can expect that every day. Supernatural favor. Why? Because the Lord will bless the righteous and with favor he will surround him as with a shield. Sin-proof. Righteous. Hallelujah. Attracting supernatural favor. We can expect it every day. You need to expect it. Faith expects. Unbelief kind of gets in the way. Do you believe it tonight? Because you have been declared righteous and made right with God through what Jesus did, now supernatural favor can be your daily expectation in every situation and circumstance. Hallelujah. You can expect supernatural favor. Psalm 18, verse 20 says, "The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me." Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Well, we ain't trusting in our own righteousness anymore. We're not trying to scrub our hands clean. You know, it says in Psalm 24, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart." So many people, when they read that, they spend the rest of their lives trying to get clean hands and a pure heart. And they say, "Oh God, we're so wicked and horrible and ugly and no wonder you don't want anything to do with us." This is the Christians that say things like that. Because our hands are so dirty and our hearts so impure. We have so many impure thoughts and blah, blah, blah. And they spend their whole lives trying to scrub. And they have scrubbing meetings. You know, you ever been to a scrubbing meeting? Painful. lift a few layers of skin off you. It's tough on your flesh. I've been to loads of scrubbing meetings. Trying to get clean hands and a pure heart, because if we can get clean hands and a pure heart, then we'll be able to ascend the hill of the Lord. I want to tell you, Jesus led captivity captive. He took us with him, sat us right down right there. He said, you don't even have to climb this hill, I'll take you. I'll carry you up the hill. Hallelujah. And when we get to the top, I'm going to give you a permanent position there. I'm going to give you a place there that's yours forever. Hallelujah. The Lord rewarded me according to my righteousness, according to the cleanness of my hands. We have clean hands. We have a pure heart because of what Jesus did. He became our sanctification. You ever been to a let's try and get sanctified meeting? I've been to lots of them too. I just want to keep proclaiming and declaring this message, even if it's just into the atmosphere, charging the atmosphere, because I want to tell you, not before too long, thousands of people are going to run with this message. Do you believe it? I believe that with all my heart. Before long, even on this island, thousands of people, I say thousands and I mean thousands, I'm not trying to exaggerate, I'm not trying to be evangelistic or anything else. Thousands of people are going to be running with this message, so we're charging the atmosphere with it. Hallelujah. We can expect supernatural reward. Say supernatural reward. According to the cleanness of my hands, he has recompensed me. He has rewarded me. Why? Because of what Jesus did. Hallelujah. Everything that we have become heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Everything that belongs to him now belongs to us. We have a share in it because of the cleanness of his hands. Hallelujah. The hands that he spread out and allowed Roman soldiers to pierce with nails. To a wicked cross. To an instrument of torture. He allowed them to do that to clean hands. So that we could have these clean hands. Hallelujah. He took our place. There should have been wicked, dirty hands that were nailed to that cross. But he allowed his clean hands to be nailed so that we could share in the cleanness of his hands. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So we don't ever have to try and climb up the... Have you ever been hill walking sometimes? I remember when I was young, I used to go hill walking, you know. And you would look at the hills, the old Kilpatrick hills, we'd go out and we'd say, oh, let's go up the hills today. We'd say, let's go up the hills. And so we'd head for the hills, as they say. and you'd be saying, oh, look, you can see the top. And you'd get to the top and there's another blinker right behind it. So you cross over and through the bogs and the heather and everything, you know, and grouse taking off and pheasants running and you get your Milbro catapult. Trying to take out a pheasant, not a lot of luck, but... And then you get to the top and you think, well, Nick will definitely be there in a minute. You get to the top of it and there's another one. And for a lot of people, that's what their spiritual journey has been like, and it's tragic. And they wore themselves out trying to get to the top of a hill that they're already sitting on top of.
That's right.
Supernatural reward. Reward means to show one's appreciation of an action or a quality by making a gift. He led captivity captive and he gave gifts to men. Hallelujah. Come on. God's a giver. God so loved the world that he gave. He's the giver of every good and perfect gift. We can expect supernatural reward. We can expect gifts just to show up. Don't ever think, what did I do to deserve that? And don't ever try and do anything to deserve it. And don't covet anybody else's, because there's more than enough for you and them and everybody else. Hallelujah. Amen. We can expect supernatural reward. Have you ever noticed that sometimes it's the people that, according to your judgment, just ain't living right. You seem to get most things from God. I can really get you fired up. And mean and ugly. I get your meanness coming out, I'll tell you. I just tell you, you've still got a whole big streak of religion in there somewhere. You need to just let it go. Hallelujah. Psalm 34. Say supernatural reward.
Supernatural reward.
Psalm 34, verses 15, 17, and 19 says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Oh, hallelujah. That tells me something. That every time I pray, he hears. Because he's declared me righteous. I don't know if God's listening to me. Well, he's listening. Maybe you just need to tweak your prayers a wee bit. Maybe you're praying prayers you can't do nothing with. But he's hearing all right. Nothing wrong with his hearing. There's nothing between you and him to stop your prayer getting to him. But maybe you need to give him something you can work with. Stop asking him to do something already done. Many people pray and they ask God to do things he's already done. They ask him to take away things he's already taken away. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine phoning up the council and say, oh, I've got an old fridge here, I'd like you to come and take it away. The commander says, oh, I'll be right tomorrow to pick it up. Sure enough, they come right tomorrow and they take it away. The next thing you're on the phone, excuse me, I've got an old fridge here. Did we not come and pick it up? I know, but I'd like you to come and pick it up again. I'm not sure it's gone. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their troubles, so that nothing shall by any... I'm going to keep preaching this until everybody's walking in it. Till we're all walking in the fullness of it, because if Jesus said it's possible, it's possible. If he said this is the way it's meant to be, then I want it to be that way. Because it sounds pretty good to me. Sounds like just the way it should be. He delivers them out of all of their troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of a select few. No, he delivers them out of them all. We can expect supernatural protection. Hallelujah. Protection is a person that prevents someone or something from harm or injury, so that nothing shall by any means harm you, hurt you. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, I've got supernatural protection. Because I'm righteous. Because Jesus made everything right between me and the Father. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 35, verse 24 says, vindicate me, O Lord my God, according to your righteousness, and let them not rejoice over me. Who knows, people aren't the enemy anymore. Not even ICE, whatever they call themselves. They're not the enemy. Do you hear what I said? Mm-hmm. Not the news wants to tell you they're the enemy. Even some folks in the church, even some preachers want to tell you they're the enemy. They're not the enemy. People, no matter who they are, regardless of who they are not and never will be anymore the enemy.
Yeah.
Paul wrote to Timothy, he said there's some people who are led captive by the devil to do his will. But hey, that's why you need to be able to focus on the enemy. Mm-hmm. Who's the enemy there? The devil who's taking them captive. They're captive to the enemy. But they're not the enemy. Jesus came to set them free. Every captive. To preach deliverance to the captives. Even the ones who've been taken captive by the devil. To do his will. Vindicate me, O Lord. My God. According to your righteousness. Let them not rejoice over me. We can expect supernatural vindication. The enemy is the accuser. He might speak his accusations to the lips of people, but they're still not the enemy. As soon as you allow a person to become an enemy, bitterness, unforgiveness, resentment begin to fester on the inside of you, and you're in trouble. You're in trouble. You just got yourself into trouble. You just got yourself back into trouble Jesus got you out of. You're working overtime to try and get yourself into trouble that he already took you out of. People, I want to hear this. I feel I need to emphasize this. People are never the enemy, even when they're speaking like the enemy.
Yes.
Even when they're acting like the enemy. Even when they're doing what the enemy wants to do. And his purpose to do against you. They're never the enemy. Because as soon as you allow unforgiveness and bitterness and resentment to begin to grow in your life, you enter back into a prison that Jesus delivered you from. You become a prisoner to these things. They become the motivator of your life. They begin to take control of your emotions and your thoughts. And come on. But one day, I tell you, in every situation, we can expect supernatural vindication from the Lord. And the Lord will expose the hand of the enemy. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on.
That's right.
Vindication means clearance from blame or suspicion, to show or to prove to be right, reasonable, or justified. Justified. Hallelujah. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Even in the midst of every kind of accusation and blame and everything else, you just need to stay in peace. You need to stay in the shalom of God. You need to stay in the place where there's nothing missing and nothing broken. And wait patiently because the Lord will vindicate you.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen many times. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We can expect it. Why? Because we've been made right. Supernatural vindication.
Supernatural vindication.
It's ours. Why? Because it's one of the results of being declared righteous. Hallelujah. One of the benefits. Psalm 37 verse 25 says, I have been young. I refuse to make this confession. But I have to say it because it's the word of God. I have been young and now I'm old. I think that must be mistranslated. And yet I have not seen, but this is true, so true, that yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Oh, hallelujah. I used to hear all the horror stories, you know, about, oh, we lived in pottage for 4 weeks. I can testify tonight that we never had to live in pottage for 4 weeks. Might have lived on mutton for 4 weeks, but mutton's better than nothing. Amen. Glory to God. The freezer might have been getting pretty empty, but all of a sudden, a carcass comes along. A sheep. Glory to God. Lots of mutton for nothing. Amen. Never, I have not seen the right. See, that needs to be your expectation. If your expectation is to go with all of the horror stories you've heard, and you start to bring your God's word down to the level of someone else's experience and then expect that to be your experience, then you can end up down there if you want. Or you can just believe that we have supernatural provision. That we can expect supernatural provision. Why? Because I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken nor his descendants begging bread. Hallelujah. That means I can believe that for my children.
Yeah.
Amen. And my children's children.
Yeah.
And my children's children's
yeah.
children.
Yeah.
Glory to God. What did Paul say? He said, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Because Jesus became poor with our poverty so that we might become rich with his riches. I mean, some of these things, man, we just need to get happy on some of that stuff. Now, some folks are going to the... No, never mind. Anyway. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's called self-meditating, not medicating. Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 37, verse 29 says, the righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. We have an inheritance. We have an inheritance. Yeah. God says, I've given you this land. It's yours. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to take it? He says, everywhere you put the sole of your foot, I give it to you. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And you know what? Not so that we can grab it to ourselves and hoard it and hold on to it and say, you're not. Then put up like no trespassing signs where nobody gets on it. Mm-hmm. No, every place we go, we take it so that it's a place of blessing.
Yeah.
Come on now. Hallelujah. I tell you, something's happening on this island right now, and I'll tell you, everything in the spiritual has a counterpart in the natural. And I want to tell you, all of these community buyouts right now are an indication of something that God's planted in the spirit. Mm-hmm. For many, many years, all of the I still remember, Lord, I was like delivering milk, and next thing I hear is bang, 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 bang. I think have I been translated into a war zone? No, it's the Green Welly Brigade. Chasing snipe. Have you ever seen a snipe? You seen the size of a snipe? It's a wee birdie. And they've got these dirty great big guns. And they pop, 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 pop. And they're marauding through people's crofts, over the fences. You know, hoo-ha, glory, war, rah, 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 you know, wah, wah, all this stuff. After these wee birds. Now, one of the ladies we were delivering milk to, she was a wonderful old lady, and she loved wildlife of every kind. And she came out of her house, and I got pulled up with my pickup, and she comes out, and she's going, oh! She's trying to get these guys to stop, pop, pop, you know, the birds. And this guy, they were trigger happy, they really were, you know what I mean? They just come from the square mile down there in London, you know what I mean? They're just, one minute the guy's making financial transactions for millions, the next thing he's popping at wee birds called snipe, so he can have it on his toast. and so she's out like going like this, and the next thing you hear, boom, and this wee bird lands at her feet. I'm thinking, these guys are dangerous, who let them loose? Thank the Lord for community buyouts. Amen. God said, I'm giving you back the land. Will you take responsibility for the land? You know, even, you know what? You see it on the TV, you see reports and when the next community wants to buy it, and you'll get people who'll come on and who've been there for years and they're saying, oh, well, you know, and they don't want it. They don't want the responsibility. It's the same in the spirit. You know what? Authority and responsibility are inseparable.
Right.
A lot of people reject the authority they've been given because they don't want the responsibility. Jesus said, I give you authority. And with authority comes responsibility. To do what? Just to exercise the authority. Somebody help me. Stop this act. Amen. Glory to God. That old lady, she was out there, but she didn't have the authority because they thought they owned the ground. She just paid rent. So they thought because they owned it, they could go marching through it. Pop, 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 pop. I mean, if they were after something, even with a bit of meat in it, you know what I mean? But a snipe. But I want to tell you, something's happening in the natural. Nearly all of the island now has been bought back. It's been given, the people are taking it back. And I didn't even think of this until right now, until I'm standing here right now. Glory to God. And I tell you, it's an indicator. Go boy, come on. Come on, somebody. If you're excited, smile at me. The righteous shall inherit the land and dwell in it forever. This is going to become a place of such blessing. Amen. People are going to get off that boat and walk on, put their foot on there and go, wow, God is in this place. Wow. Open heaven. You know what? It's already an open heaven.
Yeah.
All he's waiting for is a bunch of people to take it back. Because
yeah.
He's already given it to us. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know what happens in these community buyouts? They don't even have to pay anything. The money's already available. Yeah. All they have to do is say yes, and all of a sudden the government provides the money, and they've got it. Come on, somebody. There's a lot in there. In the realm of the spirit. All you have to do is say, yes, I take responsibility for this. And God says, that's good, because everything's been provided there. It's yours. Here you go. Get the Green Welly Brigade off. The devil's been stampeding through the place, thinking he can do what he likes, thinking he can take people out, kill young people and everything else before their time, create all kinds of disaster, destroy marriages, destroy lives through alcohol and drugs and everything else. Thought he could just march through, pop, 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 pop. I want to tell you, he ain't coming on Mycroft anymore. Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Somebody. Yeah. Somebody's got to say, you're not coming into my family. You're not getting on my land. This land is for blessing. Now you're no more curse on this land. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We can expect spiritual, supernatural inheritance. See, supernatural inheritance. The righteous shall inherit the land. And not only that, they'll live in it. They'll dwell in it forever. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Psalm 37, verse 39. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. You know, people say, oh, well, you know, God, Jesus didn't promise you a bed of roses. And I'm awful glad about that. Who wants to try and lie down on a bed of roses? You can end up with some serious thorn problems. Serious thorn damage. You know, I mean, these religious wars, man, they're just so pathetic. They really are. You know what I mean? So Jesus said, in this world, you will have much tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer. Because you're not in it anymore. You're not under it anymore. He said, I've overcome the world, and because I've overcome it, I've invited you to come on over with me.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Come on. Be of good cheer. Cheer up. Get a smile back on your face. Bring forth a testimony that truly, that there is nothing anymore that can harm me. Why? Because I've been given authority over all the power of the enemy. And I don't let anything harm me ever again. Because I have that, because I take responsibility to exercise the authority that I've been given. Hallelujah. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Like I said, you just stand there and you say stop, and your words are backed up all the way to the throne of heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. Remember, I started to share this many years ago when the Lord woke me up that morning and gave me that word, go tell my people they have the authority to say stop. He began to stir in my spirit. That little boy that used to come in my bus, he started in primary one. And from the day he started, he somehow had a revelation that a wee boy, 5 years old in primary one, could put out his hand and a 53-seater coach would stop for him. And you would see him. He would just come out every morning and see, what he didn't fully realize was that, you see, that bus had to stop for him. Because his name was on a list. And that list had been compiled by the local council. And the local council had provided the funding for that bus. And the funding had come not just from the local council, but had come from central government, all the way back to the Prime Minister. That little boy just stuck out his hand. And nobody could tell him he couldn't do it. But you know what? A lot of the other kids used to laugh at him. You'd hear them, look at him, put his hand in. Sad, isn't it? And I want to tell you, you know what happened after he'd been in school 2 or 3 years? He stopped doing it. And then his little sister came to school and he never taught her that she could do it. And that's what's happened in the church over generations, is that they've given up their authority to say stop. And so it wasn't part of the discipleship program anymore. Because some people came into church and they saw everybody else in the church, everything just running right over the top of them. So they began to think, well, it's obviously normal for Christians to get sick all the time. For Christians to have problems all the time and be able to do nothing about it. So then you begin to spiritualize it all. You even begin to sing songs as if it's okay. Who knows what I'm talking about? One more river to cross, one more mountain to climb. One more valley that I gotta go through, leaving my troubles behind. I used to love that song, but I've been delivered from it. I used to love it because it was my story. I thought that was the Christian life. No. There must be a plan in that. I said, my God's got a much better plan than that. This world is but a wilderness. And I'm looking for deliverance. butt pop pop pop. Man, it was the Christian version of country music. Remember backmasking? Remember back in the day, they said that some of these rock and roll bands, you know, some of the like Black Sabbath and all that, they said if you played their music backwards, there was a subliminal message. You know, you get your old record on, the old record player, and you start... And if you listen, you can imagine all kinds of things. Somebody said, you know, when you play a country music, country song backwards, you get your pickup back, you get your wife back, you get your dog back. Oh, hallelujah. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their strength. Our authority's backed up all the way to heaven. All I have to do is put my hand out. Hallelujah. And that mess has got to stop, because my strength is from Him. My authority is from Him. I used the illustration before, the traffic warden in the storm. Remember, he was a wee guy. And there was a lady here now. But if she went out in her civvies and stood out in the middle of the road, you know what the drivers in the storm are like? They just run over the top of them. But she puts that uniform on, and she can step out in front of 14 articulated lorries and go. And they stop for her. Why? Because they know that she has authority that's backed up. Yeah. And if they don't respond to that authority, they're in trouble. They're going to answer to someone bigger than her. And I want to tell you, when the devil refuses to stop for you, he needs to answer to somebody bigger than you. Oh, hallelujah. Come on now. Supernatural strength. He is our strength in the time of trouble. I just need to take responsibility to exercise my authority. Psalm 64 verse 10 and then 68 verse 3 says this: the righteous shall be glad in the Lord and trust in Him, and the upright, all the upright in heart shall glory. In verse 3 of Psalm 68 it says, but let the righteous be glad, let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. When did the church stop people rejoicing? Letting them rejoice. I mean, it's quite clear here. Let. Allow them to rejoice. Allow them to get excited. Allow them to get stirred up. Like the other fellow said, the old lady went to church one day, said, praise the Lord. And the preacher said, excuse me, madam, but we don't praise the Lord out here. That happened. Yeah. I mean, it sounds absolutely ridiculous, but it happened. There was an old lady in Shawbust. And she was so full of the Lord. We used to deliver milk to her. By then she was about 90 and she used to lie in bed with her trainer sticking out the end. But she was famous around that community in the place that she lived. And they gave her a name, Praise the Lord Mary Ann, because she kept praising the Lord all the time. But they wouldn't give her communion in the church. She was too excited. Seriously. I mean, all the people around that community knew her and they loved her, and they loved to, when they were children, used to love to listen to her. I remember we'd go in there in the morning, remember with the milk, because you had to go in on a Saturday morning, and you go in and she'd be in her bed. She'd say, it's after Pentecostals, praise the Lord! One morning I went in and the home help was there, and she says, she said, well, Mary Ann's on the throne. And I thought, man, is she dying and going to heaven or something? And I walked into the bedroom and there's nobody there. And I turned back. And as I turned back, there's the next door is half open. There she is sitting on the lavvy, you know. Oh, it's the Pentecostals. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let the righteous be glad. I remember hearing a guy saying that on the TV years ago when they did that documentary. He said, after I became a Christian, I realised why everybody was so miserable. He said, because when we're coming, he says, I realised that they were solemnising themselves before they would enter the house of God. I turned the book upside down. I couldn't find it anywhere. Shake it out, man. Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Let them rejoice exceedingly. I mean, people started laughing in church and all hell broke loose. Churches started to split. Back in the in the 90s, mid-90s, because people started laughing in church. We've been laughing in church for years. Hallelujah. And all of a sudden, everyone's Christians are not talking to each other anymore. Everybody's... Somebody started laughing. You couldn't make up. Let the righteous be glad. We can expect supernatural joy. Amen. Supernatural joy. I said it could truth. Sometimes crazy stuff happens. I mean, it's just like ludicrously crazy, ridiculous things happen. And I say, there's nothing left but to laugh. What else do you do but laugh? I mean, you could cry if you want, but I'd rather laugh. Because laughter is good. It's like a medicine, the Bible says. There's strength in it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. We can expect supernatural joy because we've been made right with God. Everything else might appear to be going wrong, but we've been made right with God. So there's nothing left for me to do but laugh. Is that right or right? Is that right or is it right? I mean, try it sometime. Next time everything appears to be going wrong, just have a laugh. It changes everything. It really does. Psalm 72, verse 7, some of you know that. In his days the righteous shall flourish and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. Oh, hallelujah. In his days the righteous shall flourish. We can expect supernatural increase and peace and an abundance of peace until the moon is no more. Glory to God. Hallelujah. When the moon is no more, the world as we know it will be no more. Hallelujah. Come on. How many people are waiting to die and go to heaven for everything to be good? No, in his days, the righteous shall flourish and abundance of peace until the moon is no more. That means here, right now, in this dispensation of time. Come on. Hallelujah. As I said this morning, Jesus announced a day of when the favours of God profusely abound, even to the point of extravagant excess. Hallelujah. He said, come, I've come to announce that for you. This is the day you're in. Come on, get a bit happy about it or something. Get your faith working on that one. Start chewing on that one. Take a bite out of that one. Supernatural, we can expect supernatural increase and peace. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 16. We must be getting near the end because we're moved from Psalms to Proverbs. Proverbs 10, verse 16. The labor of the righteous leads to life. Hallelujah. We can expect supernatural blessings. Say supernatural blessings. Supernatural. Hallelujah. The blessing of the Lord, as Scripture says, makes rich. I remember my mother gave me a Bible years ago. I think it was a NIV way back. That would have been back in the 80s sometime. And that was the scripture she put in it. When the Lord bless you with the blessing that makes rich and adds no sorrow with it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And I give you authority, he said, to trample on serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, so that nothing and nothing shall by any means harm you. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm gonna keep walking this out until glory to God. That's my experience. I'm not ever going to bring God's word down to the level of my experience. I'm believing for my experience to come up to what he says. Because that's what faith does. Proverbs 11 verse 4 says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. Hallelujah. We can expect supernatural deliverance from death. I don't know how many times the devil tried to kill me. I tell you, man, I could list boom, 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 boom for years. Years and years and years. Boom, 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 boom. But I want to tell you, we can expect supernatural deliverance. from death. If he's trying to kill me, he's trying to kill you. But we can expect supernatural. I remember that time when I was driving, I just dropped Danny off, where are they going? I'm driving around that lock and toss the coolies, and all of a sudden the car starts going. And you can start going, oh, you can go, what in the world is this about? Next thing you know, you're hanging upside down, and the car still, and you're like, whoa, that was interesting. What do we do now? Well, let's get the seatbelt off for a start. Amen. Then I got my Holy Ghost upgrade. I mean, just a week before that, or 10 days before that, we're in Jerusalem, and I was saying, look, all the taxis here are Skodas or Mercs. Yeah. Where they got? And I was still driving like a woman. I got back into my Skoda, quite happy. And then the next thing I'm upside down, right off, and I get a Holy Ghost upgrade. Yeah. What can you say to that? Proverbs 18, verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. We can expect supernatural security. Psalm 91, come on. You've got to live there. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord. I will not say what other people say about him. I will say what he says I can say about him. That he is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my safe place. He is my security. He's my savior. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my provider. He's all of these things and more. I will say of the Lord who he says he is. I will not accuse him and point fingers at him of accusation about how he did this nasty and took this and took that and took that. He's now a taker. He's a giver. Somebody. Supernatural security. Proverbs 21:26. Nearly done. The righteous gives and does not spare. Hallelujah. We can exercise supernatural generosity. Amen.
Amen.
I can't afford it. Should no longer be part of our vocabulary.
Amen.
Amen. When we have an opportunity to get. I read something the other day. You know, there's a guy I like to read a lot of what he writes, but I didn't really like the last thing he wrote. Because that's just the way he works it. Because he was having a go at some guy who had sent out to his 200,000 partners, if you all give me $300, I can buy myself a new Gulfstream jet so I can get around easier. And he was having a go at that. I thought, well, $300 isn't a lot to ask. Really? Come on. Now, if you can get $300 off 200,000 people and buy yourself a Gulfstream, praise God. Sounds like a good idea to me. All of a sudden, all of the religion comes back out again. Ta-da! What about all the silver and gold are mine?
Yeah.
Why should every person who's promoting wickedness have a Gulfstream and none of the Christians have one? No wonder they look there and say, oh. Amen. Come on, we should fly by them and say, hey, tell the pilot another 5,000 feet. Come on. What is the problem? Why do people have a problem? Just because somebody asked for $300? The fact he had 200,000 partners, well, that was wrong. 60 million from like it came in. But he's had to put, because there was so much stuff came against it, I think he's put it on hold, I think. I don't know if it said something like that. I couldn't read the rest. He gave so many reasons why you shouldn't have done this. And I thought, well, there's a lot more reasons in the Word of God why he should have. Mm. Or how he could have, or if he wanted to. Amen. Glory to God. Come on, we're locked into Flybe. Flybe, sometimes. Fly maybe it should be called. I'm I mean, everybody knows somebody that in the last month has had a delayed flight. Because they were flying, maybe. We have, you know, that on this island we have an airport. And you know that our airport, because it used to be a NATO base, can land the biggest plane. People can fly in here with a 747, I believe. I remember one time there was one of the wide body planes anyway landed down there because they had to land here for some reason. I can't remember what it was. And you looked at it from Ben's side and it looked like this massive. You see it at Heathrow or Gatwick, it just looks like a wee thing. But you saw it down in Stornoway Airport, it looked like it was absolutely huge. But I thought, wow, you know, glory to God, we could be anywhere in the world. Mm-hmm. People can come from anywhere in the world to here and then come in their hundreds. Just because they can land here, they can fly here. Christians need planes. You know why? Because plane travel has revolutionized travel. Air, come on. You can be anywhere in the world from Stornoway in 24 hours now because we have an airport. I've done it many times. I've left Stornoway at 8:30 in the morning and I've landed 5,000 miles away in Atlanta, Georgia at 7 o'clock in the evening or 5:30 in the evening their time. Maybe 10:30 in the evening. So that's 14 hours, 15 hours travel and I've gone 5,000 miles. Do you know how long it used to take to do that? Supernatural generosity. Why? Because our God is generous. Proverbs 20, wait a minute, enough of that. Proverbs 20, I can see that's really popular. Anyway, Proverbs 24, verse 16. It needs to get more popular. For a righteous man may fall 7 times, and the devil will come along and rub him into the dirt, and he'll rise again. Just like one of these wee kids' toys with a weighted bottom, you know. Just can't knock it down. Knock it down, it just comes back up. Hallelujah. That's where the righteous are. For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again. I tell you what, don't ever start pointing a finger at a righteous man that fell down. You better watch. He's about to stand up and bite it. Nah, he ain't going to do that because he loves you, because he's righteous. But you'll end up with egg in your face. I've had lots of egg in my face over the years, man. I've sometimes I look in the mirror and it's just been yellow with egg. you know when you make an egg roll and you leave it soft and you bite it and it just you just end up wearing it. I used to always, I used to go into McKinnon's for a long time. Every morning I would have a brown buttered roll with a burst egg. And they say, why do I burst egg? I say, because I don't want to wear it. And now and again they wouldn't do it the way you asked it, and then you were expecting a burst egg, bite into it with impunity and but don't wag. I tell you, I've seen many righteous people fall, and I've done it myself. Oh, look at that. And then all of a sudden they're back up again. Oops, a daisy. Because that's what the word of God says.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Instead of pointing a finger at them, we should be reason help get offering them a hand up. We are not here to put anybody down. We are here to lift them up. Jesus didn't come to condemn. He came to save. He didn't come to put anybody down. He came to lift everybody up.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he said, I'm asking you to go do the same stuff I'm doing. Yes. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. There's a few backsliders out there. Don't need any more fingers pointed at them. We need to be expecting for them to rise again. We need to be believing for. I'm believing for a whole bunch of people to rise again. Some things I think of some people that used to be with us and that I've known over the years, and I think, wow, yes, Lord, let them rise again. We were meant to be together. We were meant to be doing this together. We were meant to be working together. We were meant to be celebrating you together. We were meant to be getting things done together. Let them rise again. Amen. Hallelujah. For the righteous may fall 7 times, but he will rise again. That's called supernatural tenacity and persistence. If you won't quit, you can't fail. Amen. Hallelujah. Why would we ever quit? Because his love, as we were singing earlier on, never fails. That's straight out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Love never fails. God's love never runs out. on us. That means there's always something for our faith to work on. Proverbs 28 verse 1, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And I've told this story many times, but I remember when the Lord gave me a prophetic picture of that, when I was used to deliver milk and all these Westside sheepdogs used to want to take a bite out of you. You know the sneaky ones? You know the ones that people say, don't worry, I'll no bite you. That's the ones you watch for every time. And they, you know, they don't come out back. There's some of them, they come in low, you know, and they go for you. But some of them would just, and then one day I thought, I'm going to bark back. And I realised I can actually bark louder than them. And I remember that the look of shock and horror on the first dog I tried on. He came running out at me. Ah! He went, in fact, I remember in Braga, the backwoods Braga, an old lady came out and called her dog in case I bit it. Seriously. It was one of the meanest dogs on the mill. Remember that dog, Ali? It was quite old. It was really mean, really nasty. And I thought, this old woman, she came out, oh, come on in, come on in. Come the dog in, man. It's waiting for me to bite it. Hallelujah. The righteous are as bold as a lion. Peter said that your enemy goes about like a roaring lion. You need to know you've got a roar on the inside of you that's much louder than his.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Supernatural boldness. I used to be, I mean, I was the definition of scaredy custard. You remember scaredy custard? I was scaredy custard personified. If I heard there was trouble, I'd be off down the road before it ever manifested, just in case. But I want to tell you, I got born again. But that wasn't enough. I got born again, then I got filled with the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, something changed on the inside of me. Hallelujah. And I received supernatural boldness. Hallelujah. And scaredy custard was no more. Because if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. An old scaredy custard is gone. And bold as a lion has arrived. Somebody help me. Amen. We can expect supernatural boldness. Hallelujah. We can operate in that every day. In every situation and circumstance. Doesn't matter who's growling. We can growl louder. We've got a roar on the inside of us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. From the lion of the tribe of Judah. See, the devil goes about like a roaring lion, but he ain't one. He's just pretending to be one. But the Jesus, he is the lion. He ain't pretending to be anything. He is exactly who he is. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah, and he's on the inside of us, and he's put a roar on the inside of us. Hallelujah. And it's not for scaring people, it's just for scaring the devil. Amen. I'll just finish with this. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 14. And I can finish with this quite scripturally because it says, finally, my brethren. Were you ever in a church where the preacher used to always say, dearly beloved? Yep, right, were you? All the time, it was just like, oh, dearly beloved. I was like, that's pretty cool. Anyway, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armour of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, because of these realities, take up the whole armour of God that you may be able to withstand. That means nose to nose, face to face, sulfur breath all over you. You say, stop. Stat. Is it that? You've come this far, you ain't getting no further. Get out of here. In the name of Jesus. I've been given authority over you, and I'm taking responsibility to exercise that authority. And I'm telling you, you ain't coming any closer with that mess. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. Do you know that we've been given a bulletproof vest? a sin-proof vest. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
It's called the breastplate of righteousness. I've been declared right with God. Hallelujah. I've got the right to stand in the presence of God without a sense of fear. You know, even there was a prophetic picture given in, I think it's in Zechariah, when you see that Joshua, the high priest, stand before the Lord and says, the enemy, the devil, is beside, accusing him. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you're standing in the presence of God and the devil's there trying to accuse you. Mm-hmm. You need to know, I ain't listening to that and God ain't listening to that. In fact, God spoke there and said, take off his filthy rags and put new white robes on him. Hallelujah. Let him be clothed with a prophetic picture of being clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. The right to stand in the presence of God without a sense of fear, guilt, shame, or condemnation. We can have a sin-proof life for one reason, because God says we can. And it has many benefits, and there's many results of just accepting and believing that, and walking in the fullness of that, and living in the expectation of only good things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. By simply believing that Jesus became sin for us, so that we could become the righteousness of God in him. That's the potential, that's the possibility. So why would we make do with anything less? He says, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the... Let's stand up together. And over all, let's stand and do all and stand and keep standing. Hallelujah. He says, I give you power over all the power of the enemy so that nothing shall by any means harm you. We can have a sin-proof life tonight because we've been made right with God. In fact, in Romans chapter 6, it puts it this way. Reckon yourselves dead to sin and alive unto God. Hallelujah. Sin shall no longer have dominion over you. That means you've got dominion over it. We're not in some kind of no man's land. We're not stuck in some kind of halfway house of if, buts, and maybes. No, no. If sin no longer has dominion over us, it's because we have dominion over it. Hallelujah. We have the right to say, stat. Is of that. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the opportunity of walking in the fullness of a sin-proof life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Even when the righteous fall, they rise again because you have declared them forever righteous, not based in any way or in any shape or form on our performance, but based solely upon the performance of Jesus Christ on the cross. Hallelujah. When he became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him, so that we might be made right with God. What an awesome reality. What an awesome truth. Father, we choose to celebrate that tonight. We choose to be glad. We choose to rejoice. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You excited tonight? Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord.